Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John. Every Sunday we spend time in God's Word because in the Word of God there is hope, in the Word of God there is strength, in the Word of God there is joy. In this world you will have troubles and sorrows, but the Bible says in Him we can have joy, we can find victory, we can find hope, we can find direction for our lives. Today we're going to look at John 16, we're going to read verses 20 through 24 and also read verse 33. And so today we're going to talk about Jesus. We're in the Gospel of John. We're walking through this book of the Bible that tells us about the life of Jesus and the heart of Jesus and the purpose of Jesus and the direction of Jesus. When you get to know Jesus, you're going to find your life is going to be transformed. And today we're going to learn that your sorrow can turn into joy. In other words, not necessarily in a linear fashion where sorrow and then you're done with that and then now you have joy, but actually what the Bible says is that your joy, your sorrow can become joy. Did you hear that? Your sorrow can become joy. Now that's not my word, that's the word of Jesus, so let's stand together and read it together. John 16 verses 20 through 24 and then verse 33. Verse 20, truly, truly I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. And no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Then verse 33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart. Read this out loud, please. I have overcome the world. Father in heaven, thank you for the power we find in you. Thank you that whatever the world has thrown into our lives, that Jesus, you are the overcomer. We thank you that you have made such an amazing, miraculous difference in our lives. And I pray that in this room, the joy of the Lord would be powerful and be real today. Not just a word, but be a truth that we were living by. Lord God, whatever is in this room that is stealing our joy, whether it's discouragement or doubt or despair, Lord God, we just speak against that right now, and we claim the joy of the Lord to be our strength today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. All those that like to suffer, raise your hand. Yeah. Not so much. We have to admit, we don't like to suffer, okay? We are people of comfort, okay? First of all, if we're suffering, we might deny it. Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm okay. You okay? I'm okay. Everybody's okay. But we're really not telling the truth that suffering is there. We like to avoid suffering any way possible. If I can go to a dentist and have it not hurt me, I'm going to find a way, okay? If I can exercise and have it not be difficult, I'm going to find a way. You know, we don't like to suffer. We're going to avoid it. We also run from suffering. We avoid the hard conversations. We avoid the things we have to deal with physically. We avoid anything that's going to bring suffering, so we run from it. We sometimes, unfortunately, we learn this at Celebrate Recovery, we try to numb our suffering by substance abuse, alcohol addiction, maybe other addictions that are actually hurting us, but we think that when we do it, that then we don't feel the pain. We hide it. We are in pain today. Maybe you are sitting here and you're going through something that no one around you understands or knows about. The suffering is real and no one knows. It is deep within your heart. So let's talk about what the Bible says about how sorrow can become joy. First of all, number one, sorrow is real. Sorrow is real. This is not just for somebody who's really bad, non-Christ follower, they have problems. No, every single person has sorrow that is living on this planet Earth. John 16:20, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament." He's not saying you might be sad someday. No, you will weep and lament. Probably the primary focus at that moment is this is a few hours before the arrest and the trial and the crucifixion of Jesus. And so he's telling them ahead of time, you're going to go through the next 24 hours and the next 48 hours. It's going to be hard. It's going to be really tough, and you're going to weep and lament. You will be sorrowful. That's the promise he says. You will be sorrowful. In fact, in Mark 16:10, describing to the disciples after the crucifixion, this is what it says. They mourned and wept. So try to imagine those 11 disciples, and they're gathering together after the crucifixion, and they are mourning and weeping. This is not a party time. This is not something they're enjoying. They are at the end of their ropes. Sorrow is real. This morning, you have sorrow in your life. It might be a physical pain, physical struggles. Those are real. You might be going through financial hardship, financial loss. That sorrow is real. You might have an emotional sadness or aloneness. That sorrow is real. You might have relational conflict or disappointment. That sorrow is real. You might have a spiritual discouragement or a sin in your life that has robbed you of the joy of the Lord. That sorrow is real. That's why David prays this prayer in Psalm 51, verse 12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." You know what God has for you is joy, but you know what you're going through is not joyful, and you're having a hard time this morning. You don't know how you can find the joy of God. Verse 21, Jesus goes on and gives us an illustration. All the men in the room have no clue. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. I have heard that pregnancy labor is not enjoyable. It is not easy. Minutes seem like hours. I am not an expert. I've just heard of this, okay? And when this woman is giving birth, the sorrow is real. The hour of extreme pain is upon her. She, as my wife said in the hospital with her first baby, "I would like to go home now, please. I don't want to do this anymore." And she was serious as she grabbed my hand. And so, sorrow is real. Henry Nguyen said these words, "Not being able to enter into joy is the experience of a resentful heart. The elder son in the parable of the prodigal son couldn't enter into the house and share his father's joy. His inner complaint paralyzed him and let the darkness engulf him." So sorrow is real. All of us are going to have sorrow. It's real. Now here's your choice. Your choice is to embrace that sorrow and have that be your identity. Have that be where you stop. And have that be the end of the story. But Jesus wants to transform your sorrow into joy. Now, you have to decide whether you're going to let God, trust in God, turn to God, to have His miraculous power transform the very real sorrow you're going through into joy. The second thing we see that Jesus tells us is that sorrow is temporary. Sorrow is temporary. And so I love this promise that it's not permanent. God has a plan for His children that He would take us through the sorrow. Verse 20, "But your sorrow will turn into joy." Okay, so this sorrow is transformed. The same baby in your womb that brought you pain can become joy. Okay, all the moms in the room say, "Thank Jesus." You guys were pretty weak on that, I tell you. But isn't it interesting how that painful experience now becomes a joyful experience? Verse 21, when she delivered the baby, she no longer remembers. I don't know if this is true, but this is what Jesus says, so I'm trusting it. She no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been brought into the world. So there is a transformation of the thought process. There's a transformation of the experience. There's a transformation of what was bringing you pain is now bringing you a joy that you cannot describe to anyone else as you are holding that newborn baby. Verse 22, so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. Jesus' plan for his disciples was not to live in the world of sorrow. His plan was for them to experience great joy. In their hearts, internally, they would rejoice. Jesus tells us this is temporary. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for this light momentary affliction. Paul tells us the affliction is real, you're going through, but it's a light momentary affliction compared to God's joy and eternal blessing he has for you. The promise of David in Psalms 30, verse 5, joy comes with the morning. We sang some songs about how suffering is in the night and how hard it is to go through the hard times in the night. But the promise is that the night is temporary and that joy is coming. Joy is coming. Jeremiah 31:13. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. Did you know that God is a joy giver? He loves to dispense joy to his people and to give them gladness for the sorrow that they have. The third thing I want you to see in this passage, number three, is that joy is permanent. Okay, now this might seem a little strange because you seem to maybe have ups and downs emotionally, but let me tell you what the promise of Jesus is. Through the name of Jesus, not your own ability, not your own willpower, but through the name of Jesus, there can be joy in your life. Verse 22, no one will take your joy from you. Say that out loud with me. No one will take your joy from you. You see, the joy that Jesus is promising is not connected to your circumstances. I don't care what you're going through. We gave a list of all the possible sorrow you could have. The joy that we're talking about is not connected to your circumstances. It is not connected to the choices of others. It is not connected to an eternal, but it is connected to an eternal promise from the everlasting God. So if you think that the joy that you need from God means that your circumstances are going to change or the people around you are going to change in order for you to get that joy, you have mistaken the biblical joy. Biblical joy is something that comes from his promise, and his promise is everlasting and eternal. I'll give you an example. The disciples in the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 40, Paul and Silas. They beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now just look at that verse just for a moment. Okay, they were beaten, they were arrested and put in shackles, and they were told to never speak in the name of Jesus. And so the name of Jesus is what they were living for, but now they can't do that anymore. And they were physically in pain. Verse 41, then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. So the name of Jesus was so precious to them that you can beat their bodies, you can arrest them, you can berate them. It doesn't matter because the name of Jesus that they have trusted in is so precious that their heart is full of joy for Jesus, okay? Isaiah 61:10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Not a little bit of rejoicing, not maybe a little, kind of, sort of. It's, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Isaiah 61:7 says, they shall have everlasting joy. You see, when you're trusting in the name of Jesus, it doesn't matter what this world is doing. It doesn't matter what this world is saying to you or about you. It doesn't matter what your body is doing, falling apart or not responding like you used to, or your finances or your relationships, because the joy of the Lord is found in the name of Jesus. In verse 23, in that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So there's going to be this relationship through the name of Jesus. And through the name of Jesus, he's going to work miracles in your life. He's going to work power in your life to be able to withstand the troubles. John 17, 13 says that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So when Jesus is praying to his Father, he says, okay, I'm going to redeem them, and they're going to come into the family. And now I want you, Heavenly Father, to take care of them, and my prayer for them, this is Jesus' prayer for them, Jesus' prayer for you today, that you would have the fullness of his joy in your heart. Now, that can happen through a relationship with Jesus, where you are trusting him no matter what is going on around you. Now, the joy of the Lord is also found through answered prayer in the name of Jesus. Okay, so he transitions these men that are going to go through hard, hard times to a relationship of faith through prayer. Verse 24, until now you have asked nothing in my name. That's kind of an interesting thing. They have asked him to do certain things, but Jesus is going to take them to another level of faith where they're going to go through things that are so unbelievably difficult, but he's going to take them to a place where they can trust Jesus no matter what. And so he says these words, ask, and you will receive. Now, in the original language, the word ask there is in the present tense. It's a present tense command. So Jesus is talking to you as a Christ follower. He's talking to me today, and he's saying, I'm going to command you to do something. I'm not going to request it. I'm not making a suggestion. I'm commanding you to continuously ask. Because if you don't continuously ask, you will not find the joy of God in your life. That prayer is part of a relationship of faith and trust, and it will produce joy in your life. Now, this isn't my idea. This is what Jesus says, verse 24. Did you hear what he said in verse 24? That your joy may be full. So, you mean if I want joy in my heart, my life, I need to trust in Jesus. Yes, his name will bring you joy. And I need to pray, and I need to pray continuously. Every problem, every situation, pray without ceasing, pray without ceasing, pray without ceasing. And Jesus says, if you want my joy, this is how you're going to get it. You're going to trust in my name, and you're going to talk to me continuously. And when you do that, in faith, your joy may be full. So let's talk about what robs us of our joy today. And you can just look at the list with me, and you can think through. When you lost your joy this last week, you were not walking in the joy of the Lord. You were not trusting in the joy of the Lord. What stole the joy out of your heart? Well, number one, it would be doubt. Sometimes we just don't believe God's going to make a difference. We don't know how God's going to change the situation. So we start doubting, and the joy of the Lord just got sucked right out of our heart. Okay, discouragement. We wanted things to turn out a certain way. They didn't turn out that way. You know, we wanted something to happen. It didn't happen. We prayed and we didn't see an answer to prayer. So discouragement sucks the joy right out of our heart. Division. Sometimes we have a relationship conflict. Somebody doesn't like us. We don't like them. We're not talking well with each other. We're not getting along well with each other. Somebody doesn't do what we wanted, so we're mad at them. And we don't do what they wanted. They're mad at us. And we got misunderstandings. And we got division. And division sucks the joy out of our heart. Sometimes we don't pray. You decide not to pray. No, I got this, God. I can handle this. I don't need to talk to you. And the lack of prayer sucks the joy right out of your heart. Delay steals joy. I believe God's going to answer my prayer, but where in the world is he? He is not coming as quickly as I would like him to come. He is not answering the prayer as quickly as... And so the delay has sucked the joy out of my heart so many times. And then the last one, which is probably the most obvious, is when we do not obey him. Every single time we choose to not obey Jesus, it sucks the joy out of our heart. Joy is only found with obedience. When you decide to disobey, you're also deciding to lose the joy that God had for your heart and your life at that moment. So let me tell you where the joy is in answered prayer. We're going to dig into this a moment. It's not in your outline. You just find a place to write on the side margin if you want. This is where joy comes in answered prayer. I want to tell you how it works. Number one is the obvious one. When you pray, and there's an absolutely clear answer to that prayer, and there's a change in your circumstances. In other words, when Michael shared that example, we need rent money, we need this amount, and then in the mail is exactly that amount. That brings great joy. I'll tell you, rejoicing in the Lord comes so easy when circumstances change, and he loves to answer those prayers. Psalms 126:3, the Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Oh my goodness, when God answers prayer, man, we love that. We get joyful, we get excited, and that is so, so special. But that's not always what happens. The second way that joy comes through answered prayer is a change in your ability to handle the circumstances. So the circumstances in number two here do not change. But now something else has gone on where you have prayed and God says, how about a miracle in your heart so that now you have the strength that you can handle the situation? And you all know Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And our theme this year is two words, Jesus strong. And we're going to talk about this a lot in the Gospel of John as we conclude the book and also going into Romans 8 and also into the book of James through the year. And we're going to learn over and over again that sometimes the circumstances do not change, but what God has is a change of my ability to handle the circumstances. Number three, answered prayer. Joy comes when there's a change in the feeling of aloneness in the circumstances. So once again, sometimes the circumstances don't change. Isaiah 66, verses 13 and 14, here's a promise that God says, I will comfort you and your heart shall rejoice. So now in number three, your circumstances have not changed and you're still feeling overwhelmed, but God has an answer to your prayer, and here's the answer to the prayer. He's going to come alongside of you and comfort you and give you his power through his presence, and in that power of his presence, there will be a rejoicing. God, thank you for not abandoning me. Thank you for not forsaking me. Thank you for your comfort. The circumstances have not changed, but there is a miraculous presence of God, and that brings you joy in your heart. Number four, answers to prayer brings joy because sometimes there's a change in the perspective of your circumstances. So now we have the circumstances haven't changed, and now you're looking for the joy of the Lord, and here's how God's going to do it. 2 Corinthians 4:18, as we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So you're going, God, I needed this to happen, and it didn't happen. And God says, I know, but I got something so much better for you. If you can just get your eyes off the thing that you thought was so important and get your eyes on me, that all of a sudden you're going to see how, you know, how we pray about something. Oh, you know, when I was in Little League, you know, and God, if you're real, help me not strike out. You know, it's like this could be the sign of your power to help me, you know. And then I walked up and I struck out. And you know the lesson I learned from that? That baseball is not the end product of my life, you know. In fact, I think really God had me strike out to humble me, and I had dreams of becoming a professional baseball player, and God says, no, that's not for you. And if I would have been hitting home runs every time I got up, he'd say, I would be caught up with that. And so God says, no, not for you. No, maybe for some other people, but not for you. Because I want you to think of something else about your life. And so the answer to the prayer was not a change in the circumstance, but it was a change in my perspective, and I was able to let go of something that wasn't as important as what God really wanted me to focus on. Number five, a change in my faith in the midst of my circumstance. So now I have the same circumstance, but now I need a God to answer my prayer. And he goes, okay, here's how I'm going to answer the prayer. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. So I'm going to create within your heart a longing for me in the midst of that circumstance so your faith will grow, and in your faith there will come a joy and a peace in your life, and so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, it won't be you, it'd be the Spirit of God working a miracle in your heart. And do you catch the five things that God can do to answer your prayer? And every one of them brings joy. Did you catch that? The obvious joy comes with a change of circumstances. Number two, a change in the ability to handle the circumstances. Number three, a change in the feeling of aloneness in the circumstances. Number four, a change of perspective of your circumstances. And number five, a change in your faith in the midst of your circumstances. And I don't care which of those five happens in your life. God wants to work all five of those, but sometimes one is coming more than the other. But every one of them brings joy so that your joy may be full. That's what God wants for you today. The last thing I want to share with you is through the overcoming power of Jesus. Verse 33, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. So you're going, no, wait a second, Pastor Bill, you're talking about joy and you're talking about how to have joy. And now Jesus says these words, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. And what does that have to do with joy? Now here's a definition I want to throw at you right now. Joy is peace dancing. When you know the peace of God in your heart, that He is in control, that His power is sufficient, that you can trust Him no matter what you're going through, when you are having the peace of God in your heart, the outflow of it is joy. When somebody has the joy of the Lord, you know they have the peace of God in their heart. Joy is peace dancing. John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Where is the power of Jesus found? It's found in knowing Him. It's found in knowing His promises. It's found in knowing His power. It's found in knowing His presence. And when you know Him, then you find His joy in the midst of the most difficult circumstances. You might not love this verse in the Bible, but I'm going to share it with you. Psalm 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Man, that is not a verse I want to memorize. Really? It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. You see, the troubles of life, the suffering of this world, brings us to the point where we are hungry for something different, something new, something from God, and that has got the point where we can learn and listen. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. Jesus doesn't pull any punches. He just kind of lays it out for us. He says, in the world you will have tribulation. Thank you, Jesus. What a nice thought. Have a good day. No, He says, in the world you'll have tribulation, but take heart. That, another way of saying this is have courage. Don't lose heart. Why? Why, Jesus? The world is terrible. Yeah, I know that. You want me to be courageous? How? What? Because then Jesus says these words, I have overcome the world. John 5:4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So here's the principle of the joy of the Lord in your heart. You're going to live by the power of the name of Jesus because He is overcome. Therefore, we overcome. And so when I gave that talk to the children, I'm giving it to you as well, that Jesus overcomes your problems. So because of that overcoming power, then we can have the joy of the Lord. I am not wanting to minimize your hardship today. I'm not wanting to minimize your pain and suffering today. I know it's real. I want to tell you, though, God's plan is that it's going to be temporary, that His plan for you is you will know the joy of the Lord, and no one will be able to take that joy from you. I want to share Isaiah 40:1-3 with you right now. Listen closely to these words. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. Isn't that great? He loves you. He wants to hear your cry. He wants to hear your requests. He wants to hear your suffering and pain. Verse 2, He drew me up from the pit of destruction out of the miry bog and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He has a plan of deliverance and victory for your life. He wants to deliver you. Verse 3, He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. That's where the joy of the Lord comes, when you see His deliverance in your life. Psalm 16:11, in your presence there is fullness of joy. Please pray with me. Lord God, I know in this room that the suffering is real. And Lord God, I know that Satan wants to steal that joy that you have for us. He loves it when we are overwhelmed by the world. He loves it when we don't pray, we don't follow you, we don't seek you. He loves to see Christians sad and discouraged. But Lord God, in this place right now, we are going to turn to you. We're going to cast all of our cares upon you. We're going to trust in you. We're going to let you indeed do your work in our lives. Would you transform the pain and the suffering into joy? That in your presence, there is fullness of joy. I thank you for the joy of the Lord that has been my strength through the years. And my prayer is that everyone in this room would know that right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.